Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Hello, I want to welcome you back to Sling Stones. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're thinking a lot about the fact that our Father in heaven is always sustaining us and his face shines upon us and he wants to bestow grace on us. These are some things I really need to be thinking about right now in light of some of the things that I'm facing. Before I get into that, I want to say that we had a fantastic seminar just last week. We did the essentials. There were some great moments. I had other people doing some teaching, Jody Tomei, Jeff Franks, Sandra Vallela, Kim Morhan. They did a fantastic job. It was really neat to be teamed up like that. We had people come from all over, and we met the Lord. There were some exciting moments in the Lord. Of course, Lynn, she works like a hummingbird, making sure everything's in order, and it was just a special time. I want to remind you of a couple things coming up. If you are interested, we have a seminar taking place the third week of April in Canada. It's going to be southwest of Toronto at a place called the Meeting House. If you want more information about that, make sure you contact Lynn. You can get a hold of her through email, Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, at healingcare.org. Also, right after that, I'll be down in Tennessee. I'll be joining up with Kurt Thompson. We're going to be the keynote speakers at an event at Lipscomb University called Nurture Conference. It's great. Chris Miller sponsors that. He's one of the faculty members there at Lipscomb. So there are some exciting things that are taking place. Also, I want to remind you, go to the websites. There's a great website by HCM International. It has all kinds of information and videos on it. There's also a website called healingcareministries.org. That's going to be changed any day now. We're working on a completely new look, a lot more opportunities on the website, so pay attention there. And from what I understand, there's going to be a new Facebook page coming up also, and some other issues that'll get us back out there so individuals will know what it is we're doing. So I hope you will pay attention to all that, and I'll let you know more as soon as we're up and going on that. So I want to talk to you about something that's, well, I guess I should say is the truth. I have found myself for, well, actually a couple weeks, really worrying about different things. I mean, genuinely worrying. I would like to say I was just concerned about some things, but the truth of the matter is I've really been worrying. Now, what's interesting is most of my time in being so worrisome has been about things that really aren't happening right now. They're not on top of me. Some of them may not ever be on top of me. But yet, I have found myself going over and over again about possibilities down the road, and how would I handle that? Would I have the energy? Would I know how to navigate those particular issues? And then added to that has been a whole list of what ifs. And it's been very interesting that, wow, it's drained a lot of energy from me to be so caught up in considering things that really aren't present. Some may never be present, and considering these what ifs that are really, in many ways, moving more into despair and desolation than they are life-giving. So I want to talk about that today. I wonder if that ever happens to you. I hope not. I really do. I hope not. I hope you're free from that trap. But in case you're not, there's some things I want to share because I've really been working on this and spending quite a bit of time in prayer. So let's talk a little bit about down the road. So here's the fact. This year I'm going to turn 66 years old. And all of a sudden I began to think about, well, how am I going to move forward here? I mean, is it time to sell the farm or not? How much longer will I be able to really do all the chores that are necessary here? If I do sell the farm, then where should Sherry and I decide to live? Should we go to live near one of our children, or should we live somewhere where we can get to all the children in an equal amount of time? on and on and on, my head was spinning over all these kind of issues. How many more years will I be able to do seminars? How much more writing should I be about? I mean, it was just ridiculous, the amount of energy and time I was spending concerning myself for things that are down the road that, in fact, I may never have to deal with. And then there are what ifs. As some of you may know, I take care of my father. He's in an assisted living home, probably less than 2 miles from here. Either I or Cheryl go to see him virtually every day. For the most part, he's doing well. But then I begin to wonder, well, what if he isn't doing so well? How much more time will I have to be involved there, and what will I have to set aside to do that? Did you see? The key to this little issue that I'm trying to represent to you is all of this time of dealing with what's down the road and what ifs is a speculation that in fact may never come true. But not only that, it's not something that I'm dealing with right now. And the more I think about those things down the road and worry about them, the less present I am right now. And as a matter of fact, Sherry, my wife, has mentioned that to me. How many times recently she'd say, "Are you okay? What are you thinking about?" And of course, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine." And then finally she said, "You seem more tense, but I don't know what it is that's concerning you." You see, I wasn't even able to be present to her because I was thinking so much about these what-ifs and down-the-road considerations that, in truth, really don't deserve any of my time. So there's a kind of a devotional book that I've been working through for quite a while. It's called The Ignatian Adventure. It's put together by Father Kevin O'Brien. I find it very, very helpful. It's an extended way to work through the spiritual practices of St. Ignatius. I think it's an excellent resource, and if it's something you'd like to do, go ahead to go on Amazon. It's not very expensive, and you can do it at your pace, and I have found it very, very helpful. Well, my point is that as I was looking through this recently, I came across a statement, and the statement was profound. Don't run ahead of grace. Don't run ahead of grace. What exactly does that mean? Well, I thought about it, and to be honest with you, it pulled me back to reality that God gives us the grace to go through in any given day what it is that's on our table, what it is that's on our plate. He gives us the grace to handle that. But when you run ahead of grace, what a person is doing, what I was doing, is I'm getting way down the road concerning myself, working myself up, wondering if I can handle something, but I'm doing it without the sense of strength that God's grace gives me, because God doesn't give me grace for what ifs and for down the roads. He's giving me grace for what I'm involved in right here and now. You see, unknowingly, I was running away from grace. I was getting ahead of grace and then wondering why I was struggling so. This is one of the reasons that the Lord constantly encourages us to stay in the present moment. It's okay. I really believe that we can list some things that may be coming up in the future and we can pray about them to a certain degree, but to worry over them like I have been, well, we don't have, if you will, the resources spiritually to do that. Because God's grace is for here and God's grace is for now. What we need to do is to stay under the showers of God's grace. So I began to think about the fact that here I was, all worked up, but when I considered what I was facing today, there was no reason to be concerned at all. It was a good day. There were good things happening. I had opportunities to go be with a friend who just got out of the hospital, spend time with Sherry, do a little grocery shopping, get my hair cut, minister to a couple people, do some writing. All of that I had the strength and grace to do. That was my today. But I was bringing tomorrow into today without the grace that I need for those tomorrows. And it really, it's no wonder that, well, the truth of the matter is, I was getting myself all sideways over it. Do you ever do that? I think it's a good statement for you. Don't run ahead of grace. See, if you begin to wonder, well, what if I get sick and what if I can't work or what if I lose my job? Those aren't irrelevant questions, but the truth of the matter is you don't have the strength right now to really deal with those questions because they're not a reality, they're not in today, and you've just run ahead of grace. You're handling them without the strength of God's grace for today. There used to be a great Southern preacher. His name was Adrian Rogers. And he once said that on any given day, God gives you the grace you need to move through that day graciously in a way that would honor him. I believe that's true. I look back at the past. I've gone through some very, very tough things. But in that moment, God was there. He didn't leave me. The promises of Isaiah 43 were mine. He was there to walk with me through the fire, be with me in the midst of the flood. The waters didn't overtake me as long as I was in that moment. But I'm not in that future flood yet. I'm not facing that future fire yet. I'm not dealing with that future decision yet. And yet when I consume myself with it, well, all of a sudden I find myself working up because I'm not dealing with the grace that God has given me. Wow, the Bible's pretty clear about this, isn't it? It comes up in two different passages of Scripture. Both have to do with Jesus speaking the Sermon on the Mount. And then in Luke, the teaching that sometimes is known as the Sermon on the Plain. And here's what Jesus said. Now I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Well, I've proven that point. No, you cannot. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Well, you got me there, Lord. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, this key verse, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus was teaching there about being in the present moment. The present moment is alive with possibilities, but I missed many present moments because I'm so preoccupied thinking about other things. So the other day, Sherry and I are riding down the road, and we have an album on, and the album is playing some music, and Sherry said, isn't that exactly the word you need? And I looked at her and said, I didn't even hear it. She said, you mean the music's on and you're not listening? I said, no. I was thinking about things. See, once again, and she said, well, that's the word you need. What that song was declaring is the very thing you need. But I had to say I wasn't present enough to hear what I needed because I was so concerned about what might be happening down the road. Once again, we're called back to the idea of the present moment. So a friend of mine said recently, Terry, remember, God sent Jesus to tabernacle over us. And as long as we stay in the present moment, under the tabernacle of Christ's presence, we'll get what we need for this moment. So here's the truth. I don't really need right now all the understanding, all the strength, all the wisdom, all the power to get through what might not happen down the road. I need to be present in this day. So for example, today I really practiced that. In my prayer time this morning, as I went for my long walk, as I approached tasks for the day, is when other things came into my mind and just said, Lord, I need you to hold these, because if you hold them, Lord, I'm going to be fine. Now, mentioning St. Ignatius again, there's a couple things that Father O'Brien writes in this book that I think would be very helpful for us. And he's quoting St. Ignatius. He says, St. Ignatius calls the motions of the soul the movement of our interior feelings. He says, these interior movements consist of thoughts and imaginings, emotions, inclinations, desires, feelings, repulsions, and attractions. He goes on to say this, for people who are growing in faith, boy, I hope that's you and I hope it's me, for people that are trying to live a life pleasing of God, the evil spirit wants to derail them by stirring up anxiety, false sadness, needless confusion, frustration, and other obstacles. Boy, you can almost see it, can't you? The evil one wanting to stir us up about possibilities, about what-ifs, about down-the-road considerations. He then says, in contrast, the good spirit strengthens, encourages, consoles, removes obstacles, and gives peace. In the moment, right now, in whatever it is that we're facing. Now, this is the whole basis of St. Ignatius talking about the difference between consolation and desolation. See, consolation happens. We have light in our souls. I have light in my soul when in the present moment I really concentrate on God's love and God's provision for this day. And he says, all of a sudden, spiritual consolation comes in. Listen to how he writes. Spiritual consolation encourages, facilitates a deep sense of gratitude for God's faithfulness and mercy and his companionship in this moment. He says, when spiritual consolation comes, it increases hope and faith and charity, and it gives us interior joy. It attracts us to heavenly things, and it brings our hearts to peace because we're in the presence of the Lord. Where are we in the presence of the Lord? In the present moment. But then he goes on and says, there is such a thing as spiritual desolation. When we become assaulted by all kinds of thoughts that lead to doubts and concerns, temptations and preoccupations. Oh my gosh, preoccupations? That's exactly what I was dealing with. Preoccupations about what ifs and down the roads. And all of a sudden, I begin to become so concerned about it. He then goes on to say, when this happens, we begin to move toward a lack of faith. It can leave you without hope. You lose touch with God's love. And then he uses these words that I think are powerful. You can become listless, tepid, unhappy. And instead of feeling united to God, you begin to feel separated from him. Well, why are you separated from him? Because God's in the present moment and you're not. God's in the present moment and I'm not. I want to experience God. I want to grow deeper in love with him. I want to have greater intimacy with him. Well, where does that happen? Stay in today. Receive the grace that we need for today. Give tomorrow unto the Lord, especially those what-ifs and down-the-road considerations that aren't really even on us right now. In this section from Father O'Brien's reflections on the spiritual exercises, he says this. When the good angel touches the soul, he does it gently and lightly. He does it sweetly. It's like a drop of water going into a sponge. By the way, this is coming right out of the writing of St. Ignatius. What he's trying to say is that when we're in the present moment and God's grace is falling on us, it comes gently, it comes sweetly, it gives us power, it draws us into the presence of the Lord. But then he says this, when the evil spirit touches us, when he begins to prick at our soul, it happens sharply with noise and disturbance. And he says, and the result is it's like a drop of water falling on a stone. It can't go in. It doesn't nourish. My dear friend, I wonder if you ever get caught up in worrying. I want to confess to you, I have been. I had been. I allowed myself to get out of the present moment and have this whole list of concerns that I was over and over again mulling in my mind, wondering and working up into these emotions of desolation. And all of a sudden, this one little phrase, "Don't run ahead of grace," touches me. And I realize what I was doing. You want to meet God? Meet Him in the now. In what's happening in your life today, right now, in this season. He is there. But are you? Am I? The more time we spend thinking about the what-ifs and down the roads, the less present we are here, and the more we're going to miss what it is that God is doing. I want to encourage you. God loves you. Jesus is tabernacling over your life. The Holy Spirit is within you. Why don't you just stop for a few moments and give thanks? You might find that consolation floods into your heart. God bless you until we're together again.